Amen. Take your Bibles, please. The book of Isaiah. Isaiah chapter number 40. Isaiah chapter number 40. If you'll turn to Genesis and make a hard right. I never get tired of that joke. You'll come to Isaiah chapter number 40. If you come to Revelation, you went too far. Don't despair. Just turn around, go back like you came, and you'll find Isaiah. Been called the little Bible. 66 chapters in the book of Isaiah. And some have suggested that each chapter corresponds with that book in the Bible. All I got to say about that is I'm glad the book of Isaiah is in the Word of God. Somebody say amen. Isaiah chapter number 40, and I want to preach out of Isaiah chapter 40 and verse number 31. Isaiah 40, 31. That's my pastor's favorite verse. He loves eagles, and that's his favorite. Y'all pardon the way I sound. I pray for our moderator. Help me, somebody. Yeah. We're going to have to start treating that thing like the common cold. Some folks are scared to death of it. Some folks have not been back to church because of it. Let me say this. If the only place you social distance from is the house of God, you ain't doing it right. And nobody wants to talk about it, but there's a danger in social distancing. You can lock yourself in the highest tower, in the tallest room, and you might not catch the Kung Flu. Help me, somebody. I'm talking about the China virus, the one manufactured in a lab and unleashed on humanity on purpose. Help me, somebody. That's what I'm talking about. You might not get that thing, but you'll die spiritually. Did you know, somebody told me that you can worship God just as good at home as you can at church. Now, y'all, hadn't coronavirus taught us better than that? Help me, somebody. I've stood on enough flatbed trailers in the front of the church preaching the parking lots out there honking. Help me, somebody. And Facebook Live, and preaching to empty auditoriums, to looking at a cell phone, and here's what they all have told me. And I'm not just talking about around here. I go all over America and parts of Arkansas. Amen. This is what they all. Now that's funny, unless you're from Arkansas. Then I'll have to explain it. Just see me after service. Here's what they all told me. They said it was fun for a minute. Amen. You cannot worship God just as good at home. In fact, the word church means an assembly. You're not even doing it right unless you're together. Hey, I'm all for doing what you gotta do. Do what you gotta do. I'm not out here licking doorknobs. Help me, somebody. By the way, I was washing my hands long before Dr. Fauci suggested it. Thanks, Dad, for telling us to wash our hands. Dr. Fauci. By the way, how come he makes all the rules anyway? He flip-flops. He said first the masks, don't wear masks because they cause bacterial pneumonia. And you'll get sick. And then he come out 2 weeks later and said, wear a mask. And then he said, you know what? Wear two masks. I'm waiting on him to come out and say, take a Walmart bag and put it over your head and tie it as tight as you can. I'm wondering how many people I'm going to find dead out in parking lot in Walmart. I'm going to run around from car to car poking holes in their bags so they can breathe. Amen. Jesus saves and so does Brother Bud. Amen. I had that thing, and I'm sure all of y'all had it. And here's my worst symptom is fear. Amen. And I'm saying all this for Brother Phillips. Are you with me? We're going to have to get past that fear somehow or another. Here's what the Bible said. God hath not given us the spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. If you've been given the spirit of fear, it didn't come from God. It came from somewhere else, not from God. Amen. Amen. Pray for our moderator and herd immunity. I promote herd immunity. Hug everybody's neck. Shake everybody's hand. Amen. Fellowship amongst yourselves. Is that right? Praise the Lord. Are y'all in Isaiah 40, 31? I thought I'd give you a little extra time to find it. I want to preach it. I'm not going to talk to you much about eagles. I don't know a lot about eagles. Buzzards, I feel like I'm an authority, but that's not in the text. I want to deal with this text and preach a little while tonight out of just that one verse. But let's read our text and notice with me in Isaiah chapter 40 and look at verse number 28. You'll notice there is a little mark on the right side of the number 28. And that's a paragraph marker. Did I mention I'm not taking for granted that folks know stuff? Help me somebody. Huh? I'm going to read the whole paragraph, but I want to preach out of verse number 31. Are you going to help me tonight? I'm going to need y'all to help me tonight. How many have never heard Brother Brian McBride preach? Raise your hand if you've never heard. You're in for a treat. You're in for a treat. He's one of my favorite preachers. Hallelujah. But come with me tonight. Amen. Let's get this thing done. Amen. Isaiah chapter 40 and verse number 28. Hast thou not known? Hast thou not heard that the everlasting God, the Lord, the creator of the ends of the earth, fainteth not, neither is weary? There is no searching of his understanding. He giveth power to the faint. And to them that have no might, he increaseth strength. Even the youth shall faint and be weary, and the young men shall utterly fall. But they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. Hallelujah. Would you pray with me tonight? Would you pray with me and pray for me? Our Father, thank you for the word of God. Thank you, Lord, for the gathering together of the people of God tonight. I pray that you would bypass the feeble preacher. I pray you would speak to our hearts. I pray, Lord, that you'd take us by the hand and walk us through the pages of your Bible. I pray you'd do an eternal work in the heart of your people, and we'll thank you for it. We'll give you glory for it, and we'll praise you in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. I want to preach a little bit out of Isaiah 40, 31. But before I get to that verse, I want to share with you by way of introduction just a thought out of the previous verses. In verse number 28, we see the pattern for the Christian life. Did you see verse 28? Hast thou not known? Hast thou not heard that the everlasting God, the Lord, the creator of the ends of the earth, fainteth not, neither is weary. Did anybody notice in the verses that we read the repetitive word faint or fainteth in every single verse? That's the law of repetitive mention. That means this paragraph is about fainting, or rather not fainting. Somebody say amen. Has anybody in the tabernacle tonight noticed that there are fewer of us than there used to be? Help me somebody. We're living in a time called the great falling away. There's an apostasy. There are those who are fainting. Do you know anything about fainting? It's when you get weary and you lack strength and you fall out. Can somebody testify tonight that in your church there are fewer now than there used to be? Folks, that we know that we're strong, that we're in this thing, that we're in this thing with us, have somehow fainted and fallen out. There's a whole lot of fainting and falling out happening in our day. I do believe that this is the great falling away, but I'll say this, it don't have to be you. It don't have to be me. It don't have to be us. There is a secret to not fainting in this chapter. Living the Christian life does not have to be a train wreck. You don't have to be a preacher's illustration. God forbid that you should become your pastor's worst, his worst illustration of what somebody used to be and what somebody once was for the glory of God. No, you can say it like Paul. I have fought a good fight. I finished my course. I kept the faith. Honey, you can finish this thing. You can finish without fainting. Hallelujah. There's a pattern for living the Christian life. And do you know who our pattern is? It's not your favorite preacher. Help me somebody. Help me somebody. It's not your hero in the faith. Your the pattern you're supposed to pattern your life after is none other than Christ himself. He's the only one. He's the only one that doesn't get weary. He's the only one that does not get tired. Hallelujah. He doesn't faint. You ain't got to worry about God quitting. Ain't you glad to know that when you go to him in the midnight hour, you ain't got to worry about him saying, "I'm sorry. I've done give up on that. I'm not doing that anymore. I'm not fixing your problems. I'm not bailing you out. I'm not going to help you anymore. I'm tired of helping you." Oh, hallelujah. Our God never gets tired. He never gets tired of hearing from you. He never gets tired of helping you. He never gets tired of bailing you out. He never gets tired of fixing your problems. He's our pattern. You're supposed to live like him. Look at verse 29. Not only is there a pattern for living the Christian life, but in verse 29, there's power for living the Christian life. He giveth power to the faint. Ain't that interesting? In fact, the Bible said that when I'm weak, then am I strong. Have you ever been about to the place where you wanted to give up? Oh, help me somebody. If you haven't wanted to quit, you ain't never really got started in the first place. Oh, but just about the time when you get ready to throw in the towel and lay down on God, somehow or another, God empowers you to go another mile, to keep going for the glory of God. Thank God there's power for living the Christian life. He'll never tell you to do something and not give you the tools to do it. And if it indeed takes power to live this life, then God will indeed give power to live this life. There is power for living the Christian life. But in verse number 30, I want you to see there's a problem with living the Christian life. Not everybody makes it. Verse number 30 said, even the youth shall faint and be weary, and the young men shall utterly fall. Would somebody explain to me tonight why it is those that we put so much stock in, the ones we think that are the strongest, the ones we think, the ones we have most confidence in. The Bible said it's the youths that shall faint. It's the young men. They're the ones that are supposed to be strong. They're the ones that are supposed to make it. And it's those are the ones that are fainting and falling out. By the way, you say, preacher, this sure is elementary. Well, if it's so simple, how come so many people are fainting and falling out? How come so few people are making it in the Christian life? There is a problem. But I want to come now to my text verse and look at verse number 31. I'm going to title this sermon, How to Finish. Well, I don't like that. I want to title it, Finishing Without Fainting. That's not the original title, Brother Larry. It's called Brother Bud's Awesome Sermon on Isaiah 40, 31. That's just what it's called. Well, you want me to, I hope it lives up to it. Huh? Come here. Let's look at our text. Thank God. Thank God for the promises. There is a progression in the Christian life. And that's really what I want to preach tonight. Look at it with me if you will. But they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. I want to say again tonight, you don't have to faint. You don't have to fall out. You don't have to quit on God. You can stay in this thing until Jesus comes back, because God will help you. Hallelujah. But if you're going to do it, you're going to have to understand this progression. A lot of people don't get it. Here's what I want you to see tonight, that there is a progression in the Christian life. Did you know that the Christian life was a progressive life? It's not a passive life. We're not just sitting around. Honey, that word wait on the Lord, it's not a passive statement. It's an active statement. We're supposed to serve Him. We're supposed to serve the Lord. Help me, somebody. But I want you to notice with me the progression. The Christian life, there is stages. There are levels of Christian growth in this thing. I'll read you those in 1 John chapter number 2. In 1 John chapter number 2 and verse number 12, he says, I write unto you little children, because your sins are forgiven you for his name's sake. I write unto you fathers, because you have known him that is from the beginning. I write unto you young men, because you have overcome the wicked one. Did you see the levels of Christian growth mentioned in 1 John? He said, I write unto you little children, because your sins are forgiven you. Hallelujah. And then he said, I write unto you young men, because you're strong and the word of God abideth in you, and you've overcome the wicked one. You see, when you get in this Bible will get in you, and it'll strengthen you and give you victory even over the wicked one. And then he says, I write unto you little children, I write unto you young men, I write unto you fathers. Huh? Because you have known him that is from the beginning. That's the different levels in Christian growth. Now I want you to look at this text verse with me. Now watch me here. Watch me. I want you to see this. Here are the three stages of Christian growth in Isaiah 40, 31. They shall, watch me. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. Come here, y'all. Are y'all coming? You said, preacher, you did that backwards. No, I didn't write it. Help me, somebody. If I had written the Bible, there would be different commandments in there. Like the 11th commandment would be, thou shalt back the preacher when he's trying to preach. Huh? Yeah. Anyhow, here's how God put it in his word. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. Oh my. Let me look at those three stages with you very quickly. First of all, the Bible says that entry level of Christianity, they shall mount up with wings as eagles. That's what I call the miracle stage. Oh, salvation is the greatest miracle that could ever take place. How else can you describe it? When a man is a drunkard his entire life, and then all of a sudden, it's not a 12 step, it's a one step. God took a step toward him and saved him. Hallelujah. And now he's not a drunk. Praise God. That's a miracle. It's a miracle. Salvation is a miracle. Do you remember tonight when you first got saved? I want you to come with me tonight and recollect with me when you first got born again. I don't care how long ago it was. The singer said, it seems like yesterday. Hallelujah. That's something you'll never forget. Can you recall with me tonight when you first got saved? I remember it well. I remember when God first saved me. Hallelujah. I was the first person in my family, as far back as anybody could recall, to get saved. Every male member of my family was a drunk or a drug addict. Help me, somebody. And I was going down that same path. I was headed that same direction. But somewhere, hallelujah, out of nowhere, on March the 1st, 1996, in the back seat of an old gray Oldsmobile, hallelujah, God came out of nowhere and swooped down, hallelujah, and grabbed me. Here's how David said it. He brought me up also out of a horrible pit. Hallelujah. He put my feet upon a solid rock and established my going. Praise God. I remember when I first got saved, I was flying on the wings of an eagle. I didn't know nothing about nothing. I got saved in the back seat of a car. God saved me and called me to preach at the same time. I know that ain't how it works, but that's how it worked. What do you want me to do about it? Hey, man. I went back to that little town we lived in and went to my wife's pastor, and he told me I told him what happened to me. He said, I said, God saved me. He said, wonderful. I said, he wants me to preach. He said, are you sure? I said, I was till right now. He said, you need to go to this Bible Institute down the road and let them teach you the Bible. I remember getting in that Bible Institute down the road, and I got in a class called Soul Winners class. That was my very first class of the very first semester of my, and folks don't know I got any education, so I got to keep telling them. I crammed 4 years into six. I never said I was good at math. But I'll never forget, I was sitting in that class, and that man was reading from a book. I'm not going to tell you what the book's called. It's called Drawing the Net. Oh, help me, Jesus. Did I say that out loud? And here's what that man said. Overzealous man. He said, this is the sinner's prayer. And if you didn't pray this prayer, then you're not saved. I slipped my hand up. Asked to be dismissed. Went to the men's room of that little Bible Institute. It was in a fellowship hall of a Baptist church. I got down on my knees in the men's room of that fellowship hall of that Baptist church, and God spoke to my heart. It wasn't an audible voice, but it did sound like Alexander Scorby. He said, what are you doing? I said, that man said I didn't pray right. You know what God told me? He said, you can't pray wrong. You know what I did, honey? About that time, I got up out of the men's room floor in that fellowship hall, that Baptist church. I flew back out through there, honey. Hallelujah. They gave me a D- in fundamentalism. But if you think I care, honey, half of that crowd I graduated with ain't even in the ministry. They're not even in the church. They're not married to the same woman. Somebody. Oh, hallelujah. I was flying on the wings of an eagle. I didn't touch the ground. My feet wouldn't touch the ground. I was flying high. Do you remember when you went up?
Yes, sir.
Oh, I remember. I remember when I went up. You say, Brother Bud, what did it feel like? If I got to explain it to you, oh, you ain't never been there. Did you get goosebumps? I got goosebumps so big a piglet could suck on them. Help me, somebody. My goosebumps had goosebumps. I couldn't open up my Bible and read the words, and it came to pass. That's all it took. Shoot, I'm flying. And it didn't come to stay. It came to pass. I'm soaring on the wings of an eagle. I remember when I discovered my Bible. It was a miracle. Do you know that book's not a lost man's book? Help me, somebody. Oh, I think a lost man could read John 3:16. Find out what God did for him. Read Romans 10, 9 and 10. Chapter 10, verse 13. Call upon the name of the Lord. But that's not a lost man's book. 1 Corinthians chapter 2 and verse number 14 says the natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God, neither can he know them. They're foolishness unto him. Had a man tell me one time, said, I read that book you're talking about, preacher. Read it through twice when I was in jail. I said, what'd you learn? He said, I found out I wasn't supposed to plow with an ox and an ass. Huh? He said, you can tell how that changed my life. Well, you know what the problem is? That's not a lost man's book. Belongs to the bride. It's God's book for the bride. It's the hallelujah. Do you remember when you started discovering your Bible? Did I mention God saved me and called me to preach the same time? And when folks found that out, they put me in the pulpit. I couldn't quote John 3:16. I knew more about Oprah Winfrey than I did Obadiah. Help me, somebody. I was more familiar with George Jones than Bob Jones. Can I get a witness? I didn't know nothing. But they put me in the pulpit, and I preached everything made me mad. Help me, somebody. Yeah. I looked at that crowd and I preached against chewing tobacco, facial hair, hairspray, blue jeans, and that was just the women. But then a miraculous thing happened in that little single wide trailer on Vitito Road in Chickamauga, Georgia, in the little spare bedroom with a King James Bible. Hallelujah. I had a King James Bible and a New Unger's Dictionary, and I took that New Unger's Dictionary and I turned it sideways and put my Bible on it. Hey, hallelujah. Help me, somebody. I had a young preacher ask me, said, what two books you recommend to study your Bible with? I said, you need a New Unger's Bible Dictionary and a Strong's Concordance. I said, put that New Unger's on top of that Strong's, turn it sideways, that's a perfect 45 degree, and get in that book. Read that Bible. I began to read my Bible, and God was showing me things. Do you remember? Hopefully I ain't the only one tonight. I remember when God started speaking to my heart. You see, I wasn't Baptist. I wasn't Presbyterian. Help me, somebody. I wasn't Methodist. I asked one of my uncles one time what we was. He said, we're cultivators. Never mind. You ain't never had a black light in your bedroom closet. You don't know what I'm talking about. I was unaffiliated. I knew what this one was telling me. I knew what that one was telling me. I got that little King James Bible. I laid it open on the bed of that little spare bedroom in that 70s model single wide, knelt down in the green shag carpet of that bedroom floor, and I said, God, I don't know anything, but I know you're the author of that book. I want you to show me. I want you to show me. And God began to show me things. I saw doctrines I didn't know existed. I saw eternal security. Help me, somebody. Hey, praise God. Guess where I found it? Hebrews 6. That's hilarious because that's where the grace fallers run to try to lose their salvation. That's where I go to prove you can't. Yeah. Verse 4 says it's impossible. You know what that means in the Masoretic? You know what that means in the Koine Greek? You know what impossible means? It means impossible. Huh? God began to show me things in his Bible. I couldn't open up the Word of God without something jumping out at me. Whew. I'm on the wings of an eagle. I'm in that miracle stage. I remember when I discovered prayer. Does anybody remember when you discovered prayer? I remember when I discovered prayer. I didn't know God just answered prayers. I didn't know it worked that way. Somebody told me to start praying. And I found this in the Bible. It said, and when thou prayest, enter into thy closet and pray to thy Father which is in secret. And thy Father which seeth in secret will reward thee openly. Huh? It's probably in Matthew. It might be in Luke or Mark or John, but probably Matthew. I opened that closet up. I said, there ain't no getting in there. I got a snow shovel. It don't snow in North Georgia. I got a snow shovel, and I had to shovel my wife's shoes out of there. She had 497-pound shoes. I shoveled them all out there in the bedroom floor, honey. I got down on my knees inside that carpet of that little closet inside that little bedroom, and I started asking God for stuff. You ain't gonna believe what I'm about to tell you. He done everything. My first request on my first list was, God, save my mama. I turned over to Romans. Is it 9? Is it 10? Is it 11? It's in there somewhere, probably. Start in verse 1, go to 16, chapter 1, verse chapter 16. You'll find it. God said, Paul said, I would be accursed from Christ for my kinsmen. I looked up to heaven. I said, I don't even want to go to heaven if my mama's not going. I said, I don't even want to go if my mama's not going. Oh, hallelujah. I called my mama. I didn't know what to tell her. Somebody had colored that John 3:16 yellow. So I said, Mama, God save my soul. She's living 100-something thousand miles away. I said, Mama, God save me. I didn't know what to tell her. I said, here's what this yellow verse in my Bible says. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. And that's all I kept telling her. I kept her on the phone for an hour and a half. I bet I read it 30 times. She never said a word. Huh? That first grandbaby came. If you have them, they will come. Yeah, it brought mama. It brought mama out of Tennessee. There she is in that little single wide trailer. And we had that couch somebody give us, because that's that same couch. It's some wood handles, real wood, real hardwood armrests. With that wagon wheel pattern cushion. and the springs went out back in the 70s, and somebody had the bright idea to put a piece of plywood in there. And when you sit on it, you own it. Huh? Don't fall asleep on it, honey. You'll wake up. They didn't make but one of them. Every newlywed couple has had it. She sat out on that wagon wheel pattern cushion seat holding that grandbaby. I come in there and I sat down beside her. I started weeping. I told God I didn't want to go to heaven if my mama wasn't going. Help me, somebody. I looked at her and I said, Mama, I got to know that you're going to go to heaven with me. And she said, well, I'm saved. I thought, Lord, have mercy. She's been watching TBN. She's done learned how to talk. I didn't know, help me somebody. I didn't know she knew how to even say that. And so I reached back into my first semester of my 6 years in purgatory, Bible college. My drawing the net class. I may have cleared my throat about 12 times. Another clue. Who's he talking about? Never mind. And I said, Mama, I said, Mother, tell me, when did you get saved? Help me, somebody. Sound like I was from Indiana, didn't I? Oh, help me, Jesus. I get it. Is the cat out of the bag yet? I said, Mama, when did you get saved? She said, well, you know that night 2 years ago when you kept reading me that verse about God loving the world and giving his son? She said, I set the phone down on the nightstand and knelt beside the bed. And I told God, she said, God, you done saved my boy. Would you save me? She said, did I do it right? Woo! I said, yeah, mama, you done it right. Mama's in heaven tonight. Mama's in heaven tonight. Praise God. God started showing me stuff in that Bible. God, I discovered prayer. I didn't know how it worked. I thought I had a genie in the bottle. I mean, I really did. I thought I'd go in this prayer closet and shut this door. And don't tell nobody about this. I get anything I want. Huh? I worked in a machine shop in Chattanooga, Tennessee. Valley Machine and Welding Company. And I went up to that table where all of them sat. I walked up to them one day and I said, boys, if y'all need anything from God, let me know about it. God was answering my prayer. I was in the miracle stage. Y'all remember? I can't forget. I remember when I fell in love with going to church. Oh, 65 Liberty Drive, Chickamauga, Georgia, 30707. The Liberty Baptist Church sat upon that hill with an old-timey, wind-sucking, Holy Ghost-filled, King James-only, Bible-believing Baptist preacher who'll stick his finger on the end of your nose and read you the Blessed Fire Riot Act. He'd peel you with a potato peeler, baptize you in kerosene, roll you in the gravels, hang you up to dry, and you'd thank him for it. And I started liking church. I can't hook up with this crowd that does not like church. They say they love Jesus, but they hate church. I started going on Sunday morning. I found out they had a second service on that evening. Woo! Two times. One day, I went back on Sunday night. You ain't fixing to believe what I'm about to tell you, but it's the God's honest truth. I went on Wednesday night. I know! I got off late. I couldn't even go to the house and change. I wore a Valley Machine and Welding Company uniform. Had Valley Machine on one side, Bud in boxcar letters, B-U-D. Had that little Zonder Von Publications King James Bible with a zipper around it under my arm. Went in there and sat down. I found me a place in what my pastor called the center section. To this day, I don't know if he spelled that with a C or an S. That's just what he called it. That's where we sat. Huh? Did I mention I'd been reading my Bible? I've been reading my Bible, and I come across some stuff I didn't understand. I know you ain't going to believe this, but I come across some stuff I didn't quite understand. And I was praying about it. I got in the closet, and instead of asking God for all these things, I asked him, what's this mean? What's this right here mean? What does that verse mean? And I didn't get an answer from God. It's probably the first time that he didn't tell me nothing. This was Tuesday night. Wednesday morning, I got up, went to work. Guess what I was thinking about? What am I going to have for dinner? Of course. But then after that, I was thinking about, what's that verse mean? What's that verse mean? What's that verse mean? Wednesday night, got off work, drove to that little Baptist church. Y'all ain't going to believe what I'm about to tell you. Half the crowd wasn't even there. The other crowd was wishing they wasn't there. We had amen corners over here where the deacon sat, and half of them was asleep, and the other half was pretending to be asleep. Dead as a hammer. Can I get a witness? And there I am. There I am. And that preacher got up. You ain't going to believe what I'm about to tell you, but it's the truth. That pastor got up in that pulpit, announced his text at the very spot I'd been praying about the night before, reared back, and forevermore preached a whole sermon on what I was asking. Woo! Woo! I jumped up and made three laps around the building, shouted like a coon dog, bit three people on my ankle, about slapped one of them deacons to wake him up. I was flying on the wings of an eagle. Church was so good. Church songs. Church songs. I like church songs. I don't care for this stuff that reminds me of a Journey concert. Help me, somebody. I don't care for it if it makes me think they're... I can't tell if they're singing about God or their girlfriend. Huh? Talking about church songs. I never heard none of them before. I was sitting out there in the center section. That's where we sat. And I was minding my own business. Here the song director got up. Brother Mike Angel got up behind the pulpit. He said, take your church hymnal to number 308. And they started singing the lifeboat song. First time I ever heard it. First time I ever heard it. They got about halfway through the third verse. The fare is paid for one and all, the captain bids you come. Shoot, eyes up before I realized what was happening. I was in the rafters of that Baptist church shouting and praising God and losing composure. You remember when you went up? Hey, y'all, come here. Do you remember when you went up? Do you remember when you came down? Mr. Newton's law is in effect even in the Christian life. What goes up inevitably must come down. I remember when I came down. I came down hard. I went from flying in the rafters of the church on wings of an eagle, soaring to nothing. I tried to read my Bible. Every page looked blank. Can I get a witness? I went back into that closet. I opened that closet door, climbed in there, shut the door behind me, got on my knees, and I prayed, and I prayed, and I prayed, and I prayed. And not only did God not answer my prayer, He wasn't listening. It felt like my prayers wasn't getting past the first shelf in the closet. I'd go back to church. I'd sit in that same center section on the same fourth pew on the right side. And nothing. It got so bad that I was trying to make it happen. I wanted to get up there so bad. I went to my angel, the song director, and I said, I ain't gonna tell you what I told him. I said, I request number 308. I bugged him until he's finally, he got in the pulpit and said, y'all, turn number 308 before Bud has an aneurysm. We gotta sing number 308. Said, okay, Bud, we're gonna sing. And they got, I was sitting there on the edge of my seat waiting on it to happen. I was waiting on the goosebumps to strike up my spine. I was waiting to get them flutters. I was waiting to start flying in the rafters. All of a sudden, verse 3 came and went and nothing. Huh? I went back to them boys I worked with the next day. It was a Thursday. I said, fellas, if y'all can get a hold of God, tell him about me. He's forgot about me. Huh? I doubted my salvation. Did I mention I doubted my salvation? Hey, if the devil messed with Jesus about his salvation, who won't he mess with? Yeah, when I come down, honey. And I thought there's something wrong with me. I've done lost my salvation. I ain't even saved no more. I went to my pastor. I told my pastor, I said, there's something bad wrong with me. I can't feel God. I can't feel God. And then it dawned on me. You can't live up there. I know people that started out soaring on the wings of an eagle and they crashed and burned and they're not even in. You can't stay. Hey, You can't live on miracles. Do you know what God will do in your Christian life? He will wean you off of miracles. You need miracles. When you first get started, that miracle, you need that. You got to have that. It builds your faith. It builds your trust in God. But then eventually you're going to have to get to where you just trust God no matter what happens. Like Job said, though he slay me, yet will I trust him. God will wean you off of miracles. Which brings me to the second stage. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. That's the entry level miracle stage. You can't live on miracles. And then he said, they shall run and not be weary. I remember when I was up, and I was sitting out in the Walmart parking lot in that 1967 Ford Ranger, 352 big block, 3-speed on the column. And my wife was inside and I was patiently waiting. That means she'd done come out, got more money and went back in. And I got to watching folks going in and out of Walmart. And I thought, I wonder, do they know how good this is? I wonder if they know Jesus. I wonder if they're going to heaven. I wonder if they're saved. And before I knew what was happening, I had wet the front of my shirt in tears, weeping over souls. And then God transitioned me into that next stage. They shall run and not be weary. You see, because when you're in that miracle stage, it's all about you. God blessing you, God helping you, God teaching you, God answering your questions. Me, 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 me. Hey, y'all, this may be a tough pill to swallow, but it ain't all about you. This thing is not all about you. There's others out there. There's others out there that need Jesus. Help me, somebody. I went back out of the vestibule of the Baptist church. I got in the track rack. I got out a wad of tracks. I got out a wad of gospel tracks like that right there. I went down to Mission Ridge Road to the Red Food. It was the Red Food, or maybe it was the Piggly Wiggly. But I stood outside those doors. And I stood out there and folks would come out and they'd try to get around me. But I played ball in high school. You ain't getting around me, honey. Huh? And I had a gospel track for every one of them. They'd come out that Piggly Wiggly and they'd try to get around me, and I'd go up to them with a track and I'd say, do you know Jesus? Do you want to be saved? Do you want to go to heaven when you die? Are you saved? Do you want to know the Lord? Can I tell you about the Lord? That man looked at me and said, son, I love the Lord, but you're freaking me out. Besides, I pastor Mission Ridge Road Baptist Church. I'm going to tell you, your preacher out here doing this. I went to the hospital in Fort Oglethorpe, Georgia. We call it Tri-County. It only had two floors. I'd get in the elevator just so I could stand there. When the door would open and somebody would try to get in to go to the second floor, I'd say, you want to go up? You want to go up with me? You want to go up to heaven with me? You want to go to heaven with me? You want to go up to heaven with me? You want to go to heaven with me? And they'd say, I take a next. My pastor had a missionary in every Wednesday. It wasn't every Wednesday. Once a month. I remember once a month, the preacher would have a missionary in. And I never will forget that first one came in. His name was Mac Locklear. He was going to Jamaica. He got up and he began to tell us about Jamaica. That folks in Jamaica didn't know who Jesus was. It broke my heart. I'd never heard of that. Oh, I didn't tell the preacher. I didn't tell anybody at church. But I went home that night and I told my wife. I said, pack your bags. We're going to Jamaica. They need Jesus. That next month, another missionary came. It was a young lady. She was an English teacher. She was going to China. You know what she told me? She said, there's more people in China than anywhere in the world. It dawned on me. There's more people going to hell from China than anywhere in the world. I didn't tell the preacher. I didn't say nothing to nobody at the church. But I went home to that trailer and I told my wife, I said, pack your bags. We're going to China. She said, I thought we was going to Jamaica. I said, yes, and then after that, we're going to China. The next week, I was in a thrift store. I bought a book, and I opened the book up, and Brother Joe, a yellow piece of paper fell out in my lap. I opened it up. Across the top, it said, urgent. It immediately caught my attention. Makes sense, don't it? Come on, y'all. I'm leaving tonight. Hear what it said. It said, urgent Bibles needed in Russia. I said, what? I sat in front of my desk. I grabbed that little Bible and I held it to my chest. And I said, they ain't even got a Bible in Russia. I kissed it and opened it up and I loved on it and I kissed it. And I said, oh, I went in the house. I said, honey, pack your bags. We're going to Russia. She said, I thought we was going to China. And then Jamaica, I said, it's on the way. When we get done in Jamaica, we're going to China. When we get done in China, it's just across the river. We'll go to Russia. We're going to print Bibles. And I meant every word of it. I meant every, God knows. I signed the bottom of a blank contract, slid it back across to him, and said, you fill the details out as you see fit. And I meant every word of it. Others. Huh? That's what I call the ministry stage. Huh? When you're in that miracle stage and you're up there flying around with your goosebumps enjoying Christianity, it's all about you. Huh? You realize there's others, you'll get in that ministry stage. You know, I've seen people that were in that miracle stage crash and burn. In my short tenure of this, I've seen people that were in the ministry doing so much. 25 hours a day. He literally wrote a book about it. Burning the candle at both ends. They're dabbling this and dabbling that. Dabbling this and doing that. Doing this and doing this. Had so many irons in the fire. Had this going, had that going. Had this and had that. Had this and had that. Had that and had that. And then the next thing you know, they're out. They not only stopped running, they got out of the will of God. They are out of church. Y'all know why? This is where I get in trouble most places. You can't, just, and a bit more you live in that miracle stage, you can't live in that ministry stage. Running and running and running and running. You keep on running, you'll run ahead of some things. You'll run past some things. You'll run through some things. When you're in that miracle stage, it's all about you. It's not all about you. When you're in that ministry stage, it's all about others. Come here. It ain't all about others. Just because there's more people in China than anywhere in the world don't mean I got to go there. Help me, somebody. Come here, y'all. Are y'all with me? You can't live in that ministry stage. Which brings me to the third and final stage in our text. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. That's that entry level. They shall run and not faint. They shall run and not be weary. Watch this now. This is where God wants us all to get. They shall walk and not faint. Is it not fainting the key to this whole thing? Huh? I've seen them faint when they were flying. I've seen them faint when they were running. They shall walk and not faint. Hey, when you're walking with God, oh, hallelujah. It's safer. You stumble less. You help me, somebody. Less. You don't get weary. I can always tell when somebody's working for God, but they're not walking with God. When somebody's working for God, but they're not walking for God, the work is wearisome and burdensome, and they get tired of it, and they get burned out, and they want to quit every week. You know what God is interested in? You can't open up your Bible to the first few pages till you find out what God wants with mankind. Adam walked with God. God walked with Adam in the cool of the day. God walked with Adam. God walked with Enoch. God walked with Methuselah. God walked with Enoch. God walked with Noah. God walked with Abraham. And guess what he wants for you? He wants you to walk with him more than he wants you to work for him. He wants you to walk with him more than he wants you to soar on the wings of an eagle in the miracle stages. He just wants somebody to get up in the morning, get a cup of black coffee and a King James Bible, read some of that book, hallelujah, take him by the hand and walk through your day. I love that number 55 in that old church hymnal. Hand in hand with Jesus. Here's what that verse says. From the straight and narrow way, praise the Lord, I cannot stray. For I'm walking every day hand in hand with Jesus. When you're in that miracle stage, it's all about you. Hey, y'all, it ain't all about you. When you're in that ministry stage, it's all about others. It ain't all about others. When you're in that, I call it the mature stage. When you're in that mature stage and you're just walking with God, it's all about Him. And guess what, neighbor? It is, without a doubt, all about Him. It's all about Him. And I'm closing. But just because you're in that mature stage and you're walking hand in hand with Jesus does not mean you can't run. You remember that Old Testament prophet Elijah? Came down off of the mountain. He had been up there walking with God. He'd seen a, hallelujah, he'd seen a cloud the size of a man's hand. And he come down off of that mountain. Do you remember what happened? Oh, Ahab had her in the wind. Yah, yah, into the entering into Jezreel. I'm talking about get up. I don't know how fast a royal chariot can run. But yeah, out of the side view mirror of that royal chariot come a dust cloud, a rooster tail of dust up that Judean wilderness. No, passed them like they were sitting still. El Ahab said, what was that? Somebody said, that was that preacher. Oh, God done filled him with the Holy Ghost. And he ran. Oh, did he run? He outran a chariot all the way to Jezreel. You're walking with Jesus. You're walking hand in hand with Jesus. Should he take a notion, he'll fill you with the Holy Ghost and you'll run halfway around the world. Just because you're in that mature stage and you're walking with Jesus every day don't mean you can't fly. That same preacher, Elijah and Elisha, crossed over Jordan River and was having a little conversation, just walking hand in hand with Jesus. About that time, the heavens opened and the chariots of fire and the horsemen and a whirlwind, and he flew higher than any eagle ever dreamed. You keep walking with Jesus, and there's going to come a day in the not so distant future when the trumpet shall sound and the dead in Christ shall rise. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. And so shall we ever be with the Lord. You'll fly like nobody's ever flown before. Hallelujah. Hand in hand with Jesus. Just walking with God. Just walking with Jesus. That's the progression of the Christian life. Let's all stand together. Father in heaven, thank you for your word tonight. Thank you for the patience of God's good people as we've labored together in the scriptures. I pray you'd help us now. Help us now to not be hearers only, but doers of the work. Lord, if there's somebody here tonight that does not know you in the free pardon of sin, they've never been saved, I pray that tonight would be the night they'd bow their unworthy head, walk an aisle, pile up in an altar, and call upon the only God that can save them. Oh God, I pray you would transition us all to that mature stage where we're walking with Jesus. In Jesus' name.